I don't know why it's so different. Linnell Willingham, when you follow him, the control panel is shot. Thank goodness we have a Bruin on the other end of the line who can help us through this. Brother Paulson, how are you?
I'm good, Doc. How are you?
Logan, we're really glad, man. I know your plate is so full. And the heat out there, what would it be like if you weren't such a conditioned, chiseled athlete?
I mean, even when I am a conditioned athlete, man, that heat is brutal, you know. So I always think back to my first training camp here in Ashburn, coming from L.A., as you are familiar with, and that humidity just smacking you right in the face. And I have never quite gotten used to it. So I have a lot of sympathy for those guys out there in full pads. So
yeah, the first day, I mean, my day is when they had pads on, and I was so impressed with the level of conditioning that they're in as we speak. Love their tempo. I'm a big fan of how they practice. And to see this, and you've experienced it because you go all the way back with DQ, and when I hear you talk about him, his growth, his consistency, he's a genuine gift to the game, because very few people can do what he does and be as consistent as he appears to be.
Yeah, you know, like Dan has just been a tremendous guy in terms of his ability to cultivate relationships with the players, to cultivate his relationship with his coaches, and that was something that I thought was his superpower in Atlanta. And again, like to see him, and I think the other thing, Doc, the thing that always blows me away is his willingness to keep learning, right? Like you talked about the conditioning, you talked about the practice structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's very few teams, I think, that are so kind of coaches that are so connected with kind of the sports science around how to maximize athletes each day. And so one of the things that I'm always blown away by, the same thing you are, is the quickness and the tempo of practice. I think part of it is because he understands how to keep the guys fresh. He understands how to keep the guys healthy. And again, football is a violent physical game. You're not going to be able to do that all the time. But I love how he's learned and grown in that department. And I think you see that every single day when you're at practice in terms of the things they're emphasizing, how they're trying to maximize the day while also kind of keeping the high-speed yardage down. So, yeah, man, Dan is a really special person, able to build relationships with anybody, but I also love his ability to keep learning and keep improving.
Now I'm watching, and I'm with a Cal grad, Ken Harvey, and I'm with a Trojan and Ricky Irvin. So we got all this Pac-10 love, and we're watching. And when practice ends, you go, that's it? It's over. And Rick said, well, what time's the next one? There is no next one because we're dinosaurs. And so, you know, it's two-a-days or with Joe, three-a-days. And I go, wow. Now, to those guys, this is probably just as brutal as it was for us back in the Stone Ages. But I like the way, even with all the technology, the sports science, that they've developed a way to get the most out of you and allow you to recover. Because, you know, there was nothing about training camp that I enjoyed other than when it broke and when we broke camp. And you know, going through it like a Gibbs practice was like you should have been met. You had to get a medal to get through it, and the level of physicality. And although once the pads are on, I noticed how the defense elevated, which is normal, but it's also they're bigger and they appear to be quicker than they have been since I've been watching the past 4 or 5 years. Is this the biggest and most athletic unit that you've seen defensively?
I mean, there are definitely times where it feels that way. I think when you watch that defensive line, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Adam Peters and Dan and Joe Witt Jr. for identifying kind of a weakness of the team or an area that they felt they could improve. And I think when you look at the additions of like Dietrich Wise, like he's a huge man and he's playing like six technique defensive end at 300 pounds, which is, you know, that was big even when I was playing. And now like in this era of kind of smaller, you know, faster, quicker guys, like he's a little bit of an outlier. And so talking to some of the guys about what it's like to block him, it's like, man, you don't have a lot of reps in your Rolodex against a 300-pound defensive end. So he feels bigger. Kinlaw feels huge. Goldman doesn't look big, but he's 330-plus pounds and moves lightning quick. Yeah. You feel his thighs. You feel his physicality. Deron looks like he's in great shape. So
really, he's my guy. I'm betting on him.
Yeah, and I think you look at some of those additions, and obviously they're physically bigger, but they've played a lot of football. They have a lot of experience. And, Doc, you know as well as I do, those veterans who've kind of had their bodies and minds calcified to the NFL, the rigors of the NFL, like, they feel different when you got to block them. They have a toughness and a grit to them. So I do think they went out and found the right type of guys to fill a need, and I think it shows up visually when you're watching practice. Because, yeah, I do think, like, you know, Kinlaw's a great example, man. He's just a built different human being. And so, like, when you get a bunch of guys like that, yeah, it does feel like everyone's a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. Yeah.
Reminds me of the Stone Ages when Jumpy Gathers was there. That was the biggest, most agile, physically imposing person that, you know, I'd witnessed other than Ed Too Tall Jones in a real game. And when you see people that make you to double take on them, even though you got guys like that on your team, but when you see an opponent like that, it gets me. I want to talk about Mr. Bates, because I want to defend Mr. Bates, who I love.
I mean, we got to talk about Mr. Bates always, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Let me tell you something. Part of the lineage. This dude, he's a banger, and I hope that he doesn't get discouraged by all the fantasy individuals that control the airwaves and diminishing his value, because what Philadelphia does to most people, and they do it without a sledgehammer at that position, most people can't and don't. Most people, it takes two guys that are willing to go in there and stick their head in there. But I love it. And then Brother Cynic, who I love his run after catch. I love that about the – am I going to see a different version of him? Because I expect more out of him.
Yeah, so, I mean, with both those guys, you know, you talked about Bates, like, his physicality is something that I think adds a wrinkle to this offense. Because, you know, like, everyone talks about Zach, his ability to win versus man-to-man coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Austin's ability to win versus man-to-man coverage. Sometimes you need the hammer. And I feel like Bates has a little bit of that to his game. Like, I always knew he was a great inline player, but last year they did some stuff where he's inserting to the second level, he's cut blocking, he's moving off the line of scrimmage and blocking
in
space on some of the zone read stuff.
It's a competitor.
So I think, like, he, like, having a guy like that, who, to me, I don't know how you feel about it, Doc, is one of the best, if not the best, blocking tight ends in the NFL. I think it's a great element to the offense.
Yep.
And then you mentioned Ben Sinnott, and he is a, you know, he's just a kind of an athletic freak. When you look at some of his numbers coming out of the combine, specifically the force plate jump numbers, you're like, man, this guy is a special athlete. But as you know, like, the NFL is not always about your physicality. It's also about how you process and learn. And I think another year in this system is just going to allow him to be more confident and hopefully carve a role for himself. Because I've told people this all the time. Everyone's like, what's the expectation for John Bates or for Ben Sinnott? I'm like, I don't know, man. He's backing up, to me, one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL, and he's also backing up one of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL, who's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. Like, it's going to be tough to crack that lineup, but I think if you're wired the right way mentally and you're a true competitor, like, you're going to get better. And if he gets better, like, that athleticism at some point is going to shine through. So that's kind of what I'm looking for for Sinnott. Can he continue to improve and maximize that athleticism?
Yeah, and then help on teams. Because guy like with his toolbox, he can make plays on teams, and he can help you win 100%. Games, and that's what I expect of him. I really am so excited about possibilities of this unit. You and Mr. Willingham, of course, WWE style, he's a hater. So anybody from the Pac-12, Pac-10, he's got a problem with. But I love the Dancing Bear. And I think that also I do not want to disrespect the fact that we got a man that has started at right tackle and protected the most valuable player in the National Football League, playing for Andy Reid and protecting 15. He can play, and he can play on both sides, which I was not aware of until last year. And I think he's a hell of an asset. I don't think it's an embarrassment for you to be a number one pick. In fact, we don't know who will start or don't, but if he doesn't, but this Willingham kid is trying to make it sound like there's a little bit of setback or failure in the big rookie. And he says that you co-signed it. I said, well, I got to talk to the Bruin myself.
Well, no, man, he's always one to be dramatic. And so what I will say about this is I do think that Josh Connerly is developing, you know.
Yeah,
I think, and
right.
I think it's reasonable to expect that level of development. Like, he's moving positions. Like, he went from left tackle predominantly in college to now playing right tackle. And you know, Doc, because you've played the game and you have experience talking with people who have made this transition in their career, like, it's hard to do that. It doesn't come naturally. Like, some of the tackles that I coach who are in the NFL, like, we'll just for reps and for fun have them pass at the opposite side of what they normally play on. And it looks terrible. And these guys are NFL football players.
They look uncoordinated.
So specialized.
Yeah, it's like Coleman.
That's exactly right.
What Coleman did last year, I thought was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
He played his second position.
So I look at Connerly and I say to myself, okay, like, this is part of the process. Like, he's still very athletic. He's still very coordinated. He's still very competitive. He's still very coachable. It's just, how long does it take him to figure it out? Because, like, you watch him at left tackle and you say, man, that's a ball player. But again, he's learning a new position. He's doing something different. So does he have some difficulties? Sure. But am I alarmed by that? No. Was I expecting this? Yes. And do I think in the long term he's going to be a fine starter? Sure. But I think in the meantime, like, that's one of the great things, like you mentioned, about having Wiley on the roster I think Wiley's a very competitive, tough football player. Like, are there issues in terms of, like, when he goes up an elite pass rusher with the length? Sure. But he is a guy that has started competitive, understands what it means to play right tackle in the NFL, like you said, for the Chiefs and also here for the Commanders. So I think we're in a good spot in terms of the offensive line, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, Connerly continues to develop. I don't think you don't need to, like, burn the house down because of it. He's playing a new position. We knew this was going to be a little bit of a challenge, and hopefully he continues to grow. And I think, Doc, you probably wouldn't agree with that, I'm assuming.
I do. Look, Trent Scott is my guy. I need nine guys I trust that I can get through a game. Well, I need nine. And I believe they can hit that number if they avoid the injury bug.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this year it feels so much deeper. It's crazy what the addition of Laramie has done for this group, right? Like, all of a sudden, Allegretti is now maybe your swing guard on the interior. Chris Paul is also a swing type of player. Like, those two guys have played football. I mean, Allegretti's played so much football. It's such a competitor, such a pro's pro. And now that he can play center in both guard spots, Chris Paul can play both guard spots. We mentioned Wiley. I don't know if we've talked about his versatility, but can play guard, play tackle, especially in Cosme's absence, if Connerly does kind of develop and figure it out. And so I think there's a lot of interesting pieces there in terms of depth, which gets you really excited. And then I also think guys like some of the additions are also very interesting. Like the kid they brought in from, I forget his name at the moment, but they brought him in from the LA Chargers. Like, he's a big body that can play tackle and guard.
He just came in.
And so I do think, now I think you've got, I didn't do a count there, but you're close to nine guys right there that could play some significant ball for you and have taken snaps in the NFL. So I feel really good about that group, much better than I felt in years past, because, like, again, you talk to executives, you talk to front office people around the NFL, and one of the first things they say is, like, yeah, we feel pretty good about our starting five, but what about our depth? And I feel great about our depth now this year. So if there is a bug, injury bug, somebody gets nicked, we've got guys that have played that can come in and be pros and make sure there's no drop-off.
Yeah, hey, brother, look, man, you just keep doing what you're doing. I love the work. I've been checking out a lot of YouTube, and you guys are just killing it. And because I love to be entertained and educated. You know, it's not like Saturday Night Live. It's football. But you can make it enjoyable, and that's what you guys are doing. You're killing it because it's informative and it's entertaining. But I got to pull from it. And I think that from what you're doing right now, I don't know how you sleep. Because it's football 24/7 and at different levels. Those young kids that get a chance to be tutored by you, I hope they recognize how lucky they are. Because very seldom do you find people that have your depth of going through all these channels and levels in football. And then to be able to take that back to the basic level of high, it's amazing that you have the stamina and the patience to get it done.
Well, Doc, thank you so much. I need to come on your show more often, man. You always make me feel really good when you give me compliments like that.
Well, I'm just giving it to you because you landed on the ground. Ant-Man, that's right? I told you the other day, to take command episode you guys did a couple weeks ago, you and Craig, because I love it. I like a laugh as much as the next guy. But it's football. And it's played in full pads, full contact. It's tackle football. And at some point, we have to get back to, and then winning. And you guys are combining all these elements in it and keeping it on point. So the Take Command podcast, I'm telling you, I'm looking for something to get angry at you about, and I can't find it. So just keep balling out, man. And none but love for you, man. You keep doing it. And I look forward to seeing you the next time it's full contact.
Yeah, me too, man. Because you only come out for the padded ones, man. So I only do
tackle football. I can't do the inner flag and intramural and all that stuff. I don't even discuss it. Yeah. Stay strong, brother. Give my best to the fellas. All right, good deal.
I'll see you.
All right. I'll tell you what, man. Coach Thompson used to say all the time, Logan Paulson, simply one of the best. That is, of course, the education. It all starts, parents, if you're out there listening, University of California at Los Angeles. And that's what it produces. I mean, just don't hate. Yeah.
Oh, I would never hate.
Okay.
I'm proud of you guys, Doc.
You know, it's a long way from home.
It is.
That's the thing you know, sleep on. It's a long way from home. It's different. But where's this team now? Where's any team? Whoever you think is the best, the Eagles, where are they right now? And I guarantee you they're, because they're smart enough, that not even though they won it all, I guarantee you somebody's getting ripped apart and cussed out. Mm-hmm. And I hope they're over there talking about last year, but I know they're not. Because they understand this, you're being chased. That's why what the Chiefs have done over the past 4 or 5 years is just short of incredible as to how competitive they've been without a brand wide receiver. That's why I love the public. And it's okay to be emotional about whatever you want to get into. But if the team that's the best team or second best team in the world, and how many people can actually name their wide receivers off the top of their head? Who's the two starting wideouts for the Kansas City Chiefs? Don't put your phone down.
You got Rashee Rice. You got Xavier Worthy, you got Hollywood Brown. That's three.
Okay, yeah. And you're in the business?
Yeah.
Okay, you're in the business. You just for a living.
Yeah.
Average person, if I go down and just walk down the street right now and ask people over there, they don't have no idea. You know, and the fact that they gave up the last two left tackles, the only thing I don't understand about Kansas City is why are they so disrespectful of the left tackle position when they have the Kiesep Diamond at quarterback. I don't get it.
Yeah.
They got the best right guard in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, their center is, I mean, they draft right, a killer. But it's for some reason, like Pat is like Brady. He give him a little something back now. He understands it. The way to get there is to not be the highest paid player in the world and be in traction. No, Slim, I'll low grade this. I got to make sure I'm protected.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we don't talk a lot about them, and we don't talk a lot about them because the Eagles, in which today, I like your idea of this quarterback, talking quarterbacks
in the NFC. We're going to get right to it.
I love that because it is amazing. Usually, whoever wins, that dude's a god. He's a god. I don't know if I've ever, and I'm trying to think, but with golf, when Goff got there and then didn't win it, it's one of the quarterbacks from the Rams or West Coast or somebody hasn't slobbered all over themselves or the 49ers. But usually, whoever that guy is that rides that magic carpet ride with his team, he's on the cover of Wheaties boxes. It's all over the place. And then my man, he can't get on in top fives as people start talking about rating quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So something interesting for us to talk about as we continue here. This is the Hoffman Show. DOC, DHing, and of course the producer, he's Anthony Haney. He goes by a super producer. We'll be back.